Matthew 9, and we're talking about faith. In verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us, or on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See no man know it, verse 31, but they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. So God here, you know, you can see through Jesus, what was the first thing? He tried to locate where they were. They came into the house. Jesus had just left Jairus' house. He had raised the daughter from the dead. And so you can see it's an interesting story, but Jesus never stopped. They're making some noise. They're following him. They're determined. They're just like the woman with the issue of blood. They're going to get something. They just heard that. They must have heard. He just raised his daughter from the dead. Well, what's blind eyes? That's nothing compared to that. So they're going to get something. And I'm sure his, just like he told them, don't say anything, his fame was spread abroad. So they had heard some things. And so he wanted to locate them. Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said, Yes, Lord. And he did what? He laid his hands upon them, touched their eyes, and said, According to your faith, be it unto you. So here we see that once something's provided, we don't have to wait any longer. Once something has been provided, we don't have to wait. We do what? Take it, receive it. I'm reaching out to take it and receive it. So that's one key thing, that faith takes what's been promised or what's been provided. You know, I remember hearing a story one time, Brother Hagin, he woke up, this was after he was raised from his sickness or deathbed, and he said that the whole side of his body, his face was all drooped. He must have had a stroke or some kind of, you know, the way he tells the story, it must have been a stroke. His face was drooping and everything was drooping. And he said, just bring me to the pastor and have him pray for me. He just the pastor. Just have him pray and I'll get an agreement with him. And so that's all he did. He just prayed with him and said, okay, I got it. And walked away. And they said, well, you don't look any different. He said, I got it. I'm healed in Jesus' name. And he kept, as they say, he kept his confession, and they kept saying to him all day long, you don't look any different. You're not. He said, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Kept his faith activated. He believed, and therefore he did what? He spoke. I believe that I received what was promised. And he said, that day, he said he got up in the morning and his whole face was normal. Everything was back to normal. So you can see here that he tried to locate them. Believe ye that I am able to do this. Yes, Lord. So you can see here he's left some things up to us. That we have to do what? Believe that it's been provided. So you can see here Matthew, let me read this in Matthew 9:29. It says, and he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. I like some of these other translations. I like to read them. Goodspeed, it says, have what your faith expects. So we were talking about that. You've got to desire something. You've got to want something, expect it. But then your faith does what? It supports or adds substance to something you hope for. Have what your faith expects. That's what Jesus said. This is the Knox translation. Your faith shall not be disappointed. I like the message. It says, become what you believe. Become what you believe. You know, that'll work in the negative as far as and the positive. You keep meditating on something negative, you'll become it. As a man thinketh, so is he. You keep thinking about it, meditating on it, fix your attention on it, and you'll become it. So, let's go over to Mark 9. And as we shared before, you don't receive just because it's the will of God. And I've asked that question. How many believe they receive something because it's the will of God? And a lot of people raise their hand up. You don't receive something just because it's the will of God. God desires that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Are all men saved? No. And yet it's his will. I wish above all things that you would what? Prosper and be in health. Is everybody prospering and in health? No. So somewhere it's his will, but then there's something. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Yea, Lord. According to your faith, be it unto you. So we have something, a part to play. Mark 9. And verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Sometimes the King James just doesn't really get the full meaning. The New Living Translation. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. It's almost like, Lord, please help us if you can. And Jesus said, what do you mean if I can? Jesus asked, anything is possible if a person believes. The Good News Translation says, many times the evil spirit has tried to kill him by throwing him in the fire and into the water. Have pity on us and help us if you possibly can. Jesus said, yes, Jesus said, if you yourself can. Everything is possible for the person who has faith. So faith here, they had to know what we've always said this, faith begins where the will of God is known. Well, their faith came about how? They had to hear something that Jesus promised, that he's doing, and said, this is the will of the Father. So they had to know something. They heard it. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So again, we're supposed to know what the will of God is. So that we can do what? Appropriate the promises of God. What is the Ephesians 5:17? It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, be ye not unwise, but what? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, what does that mean? If we don't understand what the will of the Lord is, we're unwise. So, that's our responsibility. So, Romans, and we talk about the will of God, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can do what? You can prove what is that good and perfect what? An acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. So we have to prove it. We have to be not unwise, but we have to know what the will of God is so that we can do what? Prove it. Now let's go over, I want to look at this this evening. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And let's look at this on the subject of faith. And I guess you could look at this, you know, we were talking the other day about three things. Once you know what something is and then how to get it, then the next thing is you got to know how to operate in it. So in other words, if you know what money is and how to get money, then you need to know how to operate it or use it properly, invest it, manage it. Otherwise, knowing what it is and how to get it is going to be a problem if you don't know how to if you don't know how to spend it properly, right? So the same thing with faith. We need to find out what is faith, how does it come, how do I get it, and then how do I apply it? How do I operate in this faith? So here in Luke chapter 17, let's look at verse 5. And it says, "And the apostles said unto him, Lord, do what? Increase our faith." Isn't that interesting? In verse 6, "And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you." So, isn't it interesting? The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They didn't say, give us faith. So they must have thought they had faith. So for them to say, increase our faith, they must, you know, I got faith. You know how people are. You know, you hear it all the time. I'm in faith. I got faith. Most people don't say, give me faith. They know they have faith. But isn't it interesting here that the Lord says when his answer or his response, this is an interesting little picture here. They're saying, give us more faith. Look what Jesus' response is. Isn't it interesting? So asking for more faith is not the formula for getting more faith, is it? What was Jesus' response? They're saying, give me more. You know, you hear this. Give me more money. Give me more time. Give me more faith. Well, what was Jesus' response here? He said, if ye... Now, and he flips this now. He's pointing back at them. You know, they're going like this. He's going, no, you. He's saying, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So when we look at this, we know in Romans it says God's dealt with to every man a measure of faith. So we already have faith. So asking for more faith is not the formula, is it? It's not the way we get more faith. What did Jesus say? If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye would do what? Say unto this sycamine tree. So let's put it plainly. The formula for getting more of something is use what you have. Use what you have. How much do you need of what you have? A little bit. He's saying here, if you had faith as what? A grain of mustard seed. So we don't need great faith. You just need to use what you have. And when you use what you have, more comes. Because the scripture talks about, you know, little faith, great faith. More, in other words, your faith will increase. It will grow. It talks about growing in faith. So when they say, give us more faith, Lord, the answer for getting more faith is not asking for more faith. Jesus said, use what you have. Use the little bit that you have. And here's the interesting thing. when he, and so look at this. How much faith do you need to move a tree? How much faith do you need to move that obstacle in your life? How much faith do you need to move the mountain? Faith is a grain of mustard seed. You don't need much. He's saying just use what you have. Just use it. Everybody see this?
Yes.
Just use what you have. That's it. And not complicated. So in other words, we're to be good stewards of what you already have. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. I'm looking at this, and when I started looking at this, I said, wow. Here's the answer to having your faith be developed. Second Corinthians 9. Look at verse 6. But this I say, he which what? Soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he what? Purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now look at verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to who?
The soul.
The who?
The soul.
So seed is ministered to who? The sower. Both minister bread for your food and does what? Multiplies your seed hoarded. Sown. How much seed do you need to plant to have it multiplied? You need to multiply as you purpose in your heart. What did it say? You sow a little, you get a little. You sow a lot, you get a lot. That's the process here. So where people are saying, Lord, I need more money. Okay, what are you sowing? Because he said he will multiply your seed sown. Now that's not just money. That's time. That's everything. That's we walk by faith and not by sight. That's not just offering time. Give me more friends. Are you sowing friendship into people? Are you sowing into people? You want more friends? Then sow. See? I'll give you a funny one. I want more muscles. I want more muscles. I want more muscles. Well, guess what? Asking for more muscles does not get you more muscles. You've got to use the muscles you already have. You have muscles. But if you want more muscles, you've got to use what you have to get more. I mean, just you look at everything. I mean, it'd be silly if it wasn't so. So in order to get something, we're going to have to increase my faith. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye would say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up from the roots and cast into the sea. So in order for us to increase in areas of our life, we're going to have to sow seed. How much? What you have. What you have. And so now, if you go, let's look at verse 6 again. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So if you had faith, you would do what? Say. If you had faith, you would say. How much faith do you need to accomplish things in life? Mustard seed faith. Just a little bit. You just need mustard seed faith. It says if you would, as a grain of mustard seed. What does that mean? Very tiny. Very little. And that seed, it said, once planted and nurtured, what does it say? It grows up into this tree that supports the birds and the fowls of the air. But it didn't start there. It just started as a seed. So how much faith do you need for money to come? Mustard seed faith. How much seed do you need? How much faith do you need to change something in your body? Mustard seed faith. Sometimes people are looking and saying, well, I don't have the faith to handle that. Use what you have. See, I always say this. Stand on the word of God until you get further instructions. Because all you need is mustard seed faith to change something. And, don't give up so easy. Take the word of God, believe it, and speak it. This is what he said here. He said, if you had faith, that means if you have faith, you're convinced of something. That means faith is the substance. That means you are convinced that what you desire or hope for shall come to pass. It adds substance to that which you hope for, expect to come to pass. So this says here, if you had faith, how much? A little bit, as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. So once that confidence and that conviction comes, you're doing what? You're speaking it. You're releasing your words. And what does it say? Be thou plucked up by the root. Be thou planted in the sea. And it should obey you. So bottom line is you've got to use what you have in order for there to be an increase in your faith. An increase. You got to use what you have. When you use what you have, then the power of God is released in your behalf. Right? So let's turn over. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians, we're right here, 2 Corinthians 4. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So those things that we believe, we speak. Same thing with Romans chapter 8, 10 verse 8. It says, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is what? The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and what? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we're going to have to begin to do just what Jesus said. If If we're doing it, then keep doing it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. Keep saying it. Keep speaking it. What did the woman with the issue of blood? She said she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying. If I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be made whole. I don't care if it takes whatever length of time it takes. You keep standing and claiming the promises of God until you get other direction from God. And that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes people get off in the ditch. That doesn't mean you go, don't go to doctors and all that. That's not what that means. You claim the promises of God and let God direct you as to what you should be doing. But here's the thing. Sometimes we are too quick to seek help from doctors when in fact God is looking. Start using what you have. Start saying, my body functions and operates normally. My body we wait until there's a problem and then we start believing and saying. Say it every day. I have strength to do what I need to do. When do you say that? When you don't have strength. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I believe that every cell in my body functions normally. And here's what I'm saying. When you continue to say that, then what you're doing is you're putting your trust in the Lord. God will begin to then say, Don't go over here and do this. Don't do this anymore. Do this over here. And a lot of times when we're not speaking the word of God, then it doesn't give God the opportunity to then direct us, because we got it all figured out. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll do what? He'll direct your paths. So if we continue to speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, keep speaking it, then he will direct you. I like to, you know, to hear, I mean, when Reverend Larry Hutton was here, he was talking about sowing and giving, and he said that, you know, he would profess, you know, that I believe I receive a return on the seed that I've sown. That's what he would say. I believe that I receive an abundant return on the seed that I've sown. And then God would speak to him and say, go buy this over here. And he'd say, really? Okay. And then guess what? It would turn out to be a blessing that he could turn around and sell it for something else. So the point is, speak the promises of God. Believe and speak the promises of God, and then God will begin to do what? He watches over his word to perform it. He will direct you to make sure that that will be fulfilled. That I am blessed, that my bank accounts are full, my storehouses are full, I'm strong. You know, he may tell you, go to bed early. Now I want to stay up late. Well, maybe he's saying go to bed early. It might be some natural things he's trying to get you to do. Just maybe, I don't know. Again, faith without works, faith without a corresponding action is what? Dead. Let's go over to Mark 11:22. And of course, we know the story. The day before, Jesus, he didn't like non-fruit-bearing things. So what did he do? He cursed the fig tree. He went to get something to eat, and there wasn't any fruit. There wasn't any figs on it. And so here, you go down, you read the story here, verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, Have faith in God. So that would have been a perfect time, when you think about it, would have been when they said, look at the tree you cursed. It would have been a perfect time for him to say, I'm the only one that can do that. But what did he do? He responded almost the same thing. He is almost like what he said to the blind men. Believest ye that I am able to do this? Believe? And this what did he say? He said to them, and Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. Or my margin says, have the faith of God. Or you could say the God kind of faith. In verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. That's what we just got done reading in Luke 17. Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith. So it's not just believing, you've got to believe what you say. This is where sometimes the disconnect comes in. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. And this is what I was sharing on the last time we were together. He that believeth in what he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. What's Proverbs 18? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the what? The fruit thereof. And so, just like Brother Hagin said, he said, you can school yourself or train yourself, whatever word you want to use, you can school yourself over into believing by what? Feeding, just like in Proverbs 4, let not this book of the law depart from thine eyes, or not, that's not the one. It says, let me read that. Proverbs 4. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life and health unto all that find them. They're unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so you can train yourself or school yourself over into faith even when you don't believe, even when you're wrestling with your mind. You do what? You keep fixing your attention on those scriptures, feeding on them, saying it, speaking it. And you know, some people say, well, I'm not there yet. I don't believe. Just keep meditating on it. Just keep speaking it. And at some point, faith comes. And so, as I was sharing the other day, you can school yourself over into doubt the same way. You can do the same principle applies. You can fix your attention on the problem, not on the promises of God, and you keep talking about it. You keep looking at the problem. What happened to Peter? Peter jumped out of the boat full of faith, and he fixed his attention on the waves and the winds, and he started, and it affected his faith. He started to sink. We think about it. He's walking on the water. And so the same thing. We've got to fix our attention on the promises of God. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so faith is going to come. But what we were sharing before, when they said, increase our faith. You know, I'm when I read that, I'm thinking, what did Peter do? The Lord just said, come. He didn't say, give me more faith so I can walk on the water. He just jumped out and went. And he's walking on the water. Think about that. He didn't ask for some kind of special faith to walk on the water. Sometimes we may think, boy, I need some strong faith to get out of this boat and walk on the water. The Lord just said, come. And he got out and started walking on the water. He used what he had. And I think sometimes we need to focus on that, that we don't need some kind of, sometimes we compartmentalize, we look at a big problem, big faith. Jesus didn't say that. He said, just use what you have. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this problem, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So that's the key. Use what you have. Don't wait for some move, you know, and some unction or whatever. Just use what you have. Start speaking. You know, if we'd ever just do that, the devil doesn't want us to get out of the boat. He doesn't want us to walk on the water. He doesn't want us to use what we have. This is what Jesus is saying here. I like some of these other translations. I love the Johnson translation. Or paraphrase, it says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. So that means you believe something, but you become separated. You believe one thing and say something else. And Jesus is saying, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say, under this sycamine tree. You know, so often, you know, the church people and the church say, well, I believe if it came to pass, it must have been God's will. And if it didn't come to pass, well, I guess it wasn't his will. That's not faith. Faith is what? Convinced of those things that you don't see. Regardless of what you see, if it's promised in the Word of God, we can take it by faith. We can reach out and say, I receive this, Lord. What did Peter do? He just said, come. And he said, well, if the Lord said, come, I'm coming. And you know what I believe? It wasn't that it was some special faith. When he acted, when he stepped out, the power of God supported him. The power of God went into operation and supported him to walk on the water. And that's what we're talking about here. It's not some level of faith that causes the power of God to work in your behalf. It's faith causes the power of God to go into operation. Let me ask this question. What's probably the biggest miracle that ever happened to you? You got saved. Did you have any great faith to get saved? No. We just said some simple prayer. Mustard seed faith. Tiny little faith. And the power of God went into operation and changed us. Probably the biggest miracle that ever happened in our life. And I would say the biggest miracle. And so when you look at some of the issues that we face, what is that compared to changing the inside of us, changing our nature? Not much. And so if we just took mustard seed faith and operated in it and do what? Believe and speak. Believe and speak. I have this. I'm taking this. I'm doing this. In Jesus' name. So I encourage you, if there's adjustments, make adjustments. If you're standing on something, you're exercising, keep it up, keep doing it. I believe that I've received, and if it's healing in your body, I believe the healing power of God is working in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in my body. And you say it and 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 say it some more. Say it 1,000 times a day if you have to. Say it till you can't say it anymore. And it shall come to pass. Same thing with money. It shall come to pass. Don't say, I can't afford to do that. Don't say, I don't have enough money. I can't do this. I can't do that. Don't say, I can't. If it's promised in the Word of God, all things are possible to those who believe. And if you believe, then that means if you have belief, you'll speak. Amen.